I'm going to grab. If you ever notice the way I tend to format messages, I'll give you a text if we're going to focus on one text, and then I'll start talking and saying a few things before we ever read from the text. Some of you, if you've ever like been looking for a text and then the pastor starts reading from it before you get there, I know some of you are a little panicky when that happens. Don't be alarmed. I'm going to say a statement from Matthew 6, but we're going to actually get back there momentarily. There's two statements that are made by Jesus, one in Matthew 6:24 and one in Mark 8:36, that I think many of us believe do not apply to us, or we're not falling under the concern of that. Matthew 6:24, and most of you are probably aware of these statements. Matthew 6:24, you cannot serve both God and money. How many of you were aware of that statement? Okay. Many of us are aware of that statement. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus also said in Mark 8:36, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Now, how many of you were aware of that verse? Okay, I got some head nods and some hands. Those two statements, many of us are aware of. You know, they get quoted a lot. We're aware of that Jesus made those statements. You cannot serve both God and money, and what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? But unfortunately, some of us, now hopefully all of us are free from the concerns of those statements, but sometimes some of us think we're free of the concerns of those statements because we misunderstand some things about what Jesus is trying to tell us or about what wealth per se is. Because sometimes what we picture as wealth is like the 1%. You know how there's like the 99% and the 1% of the world that has, you know, the 99% of the world's wealth. And you picture the lavish lifestyles, the huge mansion, the nice fancy cars and the nice clothes and the going all over the place on vacation and having vacation homes, and you picture those kind of things. Jesus is picturing that, but he's picturing a lot more than that. Wealth is just simply having stuff. Do any of you not have anything? Do any of you have stuff? Anybody have a TV? Anybody have a phone? Anybody have a car? Anybody have an air conditioning unit? Don't you love air conditioning units, especially when it approaches the 90s like it did a few days this past week and the week coming? You have stuff. That means that you fall under the definition of wealth. You have wealth. Anybody have a job? Some of you are saying no because you're retired. Some of you are saying yes. Anybody have an income? Okay, probably the vast majority of your hands should be going up. That's wealth. If you pursue an income, have pursued an income, if you have possessions, if you want to have possessions, if you go to the store to buy and purchase things, that is wealth. That's what Jesus is talking about. The purchasing power, to be able to acquire things, to pursue acquiring things. So that is wealth, but what is the concern with the you cannot serve both God and money, and what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? You see, the conflict is, it says you cannot serve both God and money. It doesn't say you can't have both God and money. It says you can't serve both God and money. Here's where the problem is when the two come in conflict with one another. When in order for me to attain this stuff that I want, this lifestyle that I want, and again, it doesn't have to be a mansion or fancy vacations. It could be in order for me to have the kind of cell phone service I want to have, in order for me to have the kind of cable or internet service I want to have, in order for me to have the car that I presently have, in order for me to go out to eat, in order for me to whatever you want to put in this box. It doesn't have to be lavish things. It could be I want to attain whatever this thing is, whatever kind of lifestyle it is. If it comes in conflict with my ability to live my life the way Jesus Christ wants me to live it and to pursue the things that Jesus Christ wants me to pursue, that's when the conflict arises. In that moment, who do you choose as your Lord? Is Jesus the Lord of my life? Or are my pursuits the Lord of my life? who calls the shots in your life? Who actually tells you what you do and don't do? How do you make your choices? What are they based off of? Is Jesus the Lord of my life, or are my pursuits the Lord of my life? And your actions will demonstrate that. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, Jesus says in Matthew 13, 22, and in Mark 4, 19, he mentions the deceitfulness of riches. You see, wealth and possessions have a way of clouding our judgment till we don't realize that we have crossed some line. Because when Jesus says you cannot serve both God and money, do you realize that if I serve something else as my Lord versus Jesus, I might not verbalize my money as my Lord. I might not verbalize my pursuit, my lifestyle as my Lord, but with my actions, I will demonstrate who I am loyal to. And if I'm not loyal to the Lord, if someone else goes higher than him, what is that? Anybody know what that is? What was that? Idolatry. If something else, it doesn't mean I can't have other things. It doesn't mean I can't have other people in my life that I'm faithful to. It doesn't mean I can't be loyal to organizations and such. But when something else becomes a higher priority than God, that when they're in conflict with one another, I choose this thing rather than God, I'm committing idolatry. And this morning, what I believe the Lord hopes to do is to reveal to you what idolatry is and whether or not you're committing it. Because when we think idolatry, we picture the statues and we think of the false religions. But idolatry is anything that calls the shots above God. Some of our confusion is not understanding the way God establishes financial situations in our lives. We get confused sometimes with the parable of the workers in the field. You remember that parable where everybody came and worked, you know, a certain amount of hours. Some worked the whole day. Some worked for just a little bit at the end. And they all got paid the same, right? And so we think that that means that all of us should always have the same. Everything should always be equal. And when you parent children, some of you have had children that thought that that's not fair. He has, and I should have too. And she has this, and I should. They got to do, and I should be able to do. And kids think everything has to be fair. You have to experience everything the same way and have the same amount of things. Guess what? That's not what God meant by that parable. In that parable, he was trying to explain to us that it doesn't matter at what point in your life you surrender yourself to Jesus Christ, you get in. If you give your life to Christ at 8 years old and live 80 years for Christ, you get into heaven. Awesome. If you gave your life to Christ on your deathbed, but you lived your whole life for yourself, and on your deathbed you gave your life to Christ, guess what? You get in also. You get the same. However, for different circumstances and different topics, there's different parables that apply. And perhaps the better parable to think about when it comes to our finances is the parable of the talents, where one individual got one talent, but the other guy got two. That's not fair. How come I only got one and he has two? One individual has two talents and the other has five. And by the way, the talents in that passage is money. It's a measurement of money at that time. So I only have two and that guy has five. That's not fair. And what does Jesus say to the clay? How can the clay complain, you know, how I formed you and such? We all get different circumstances in life and different scenarios handed to us. And some of us have circumstances that are better. And I don't know if you know this, but us being born in America, did you get to choose where you were born? Did you guys go to like a bank and say, I want to apply for the Born in the USA plan? No, you didn't do that? You don't get to choose where you're born. You being born in the United States is a very significant privilege compared to being born in numerous other countries around the world. You started out in a higher place. You started out with more talents than many other people in the rest of the world when it comes to a posture. Some of us have various relationships that give us certain favor and certain opportunities that led to us getting a better education, which leads to better opportunities. Some people can work 20 hours a week and make more money than someone else who works 80 hours a week. Because of circumstances, because sometimes it's talent. You know, one person has a certain set of talents that I don't have. One person has a certain kind of intelligence level that I don't have. Anybody have people that you figure are smarter than you? Okay? Anybody figure there's a lot of people smarter than you? Okay. So some people, God gave them a certain set of intelligence, a certain set of skills, certain relationships and such, and that puts them in a place where maybe they have five talents and you only have two. But here's the thing. The person who had the five talents produced 10 based on what God gave him. The person who had the two produced 4. The person who had one only produced 1. You know what's interesting about that? Is while, yes, God sets a stage for us, he puts us in a scenario that sometimes even limits where we can go, sometimes is the reason why we can go there, but he creates a scenario in which, depending on what we do with that, things can be better or stay the same. So you can be at a certain level financially, and God has given you different capabilities and such, and you're not going beyond that because you're not doing anything with the talent. You're not doing anything with the stuff that God has given you so you can get to a certain place. But God had no expectation that the one talent guy was going to produce the 10 like the five talent guy did. What's my point with all that? Well, I need to realize that if I'm pursuing an income and that prevents me from doing the things that God has called me to do, then I need to cut back on that. I need to figure out how to reduce. Remember that last week? Reduce some of my expenses. I need to figure out how to manage my money in such a way that I can live on less because that's what I have right now so that I don't have to cross certain lines that I shouldn't cross, that I don't have to fail in doing certain things God wants me to do because I have to work so much to attain the lifestyle that I want to have. And here's the thing, though. You could be attaining a certain lifestyle and realize that you're committing idolatry, realizing that you're crossing lines you shouldn't in order to attain that lifestyle, and look over at the other guy who has the same lifestyle or a better lifestyle than you, and you could think, well, he must be committing idolatry also because how could he have all that stuff and not be committing idolatry if I have to cross certain lines in order to attain that all that stuff? It could be that they're committing idolatry. It could be that God only gave you one talent. And so you could only get to that level before you cross the line where that guy, he could get that much and still not cross the line. And so it's not a matter of how much I have. It's not a matter of how many cars I have. It's not a matter of whether or not I take trips and what kind of trips. It's not a matter of what kind of clothes I wear. That's all completely irrelevant to these statements. You cannot serve both God and money. And what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What matters is, to get it, did you have to cross a line? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? What matters is if to get that thing, that lifestyle, whether it's a mansion or whether it's just to own your own home that's a two-bedroom house somewhere that's really small and it's in this crowded neighborhood and the houses are, have you ever been through neighborhoods and there's some in this neighborhood where the houses are like this close to one another? Okay, I'm claustrophobic. I don't know if that would be like, the houses are right next to each other. But if you had to sacrifice and do things that you shouldn't have done and cross lines that you shouldn't have done in order to own that little tiny house, you chose money over God. You cannot serve both God and money. Well, then how can I understand whether or not I'm crossing that line? Because I think I'm faithful to God, and I have my stuff, so I think I'm fine. Well, there's two issues there that we need to wrestle through. We'll do one today, and we'll do the other the next part of this message. And that is ignorance and passion. These are the two things that kind of muddy the waters for me to understand whether or not I'm crossing a line. Ignorance and passion. Ignorance is the easier one to fix of the two. Because ignorance is just that I lack a certain amount of information. And if I get the information and I realize, whoa, I'm messing this up because I didn't know that, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to change some things, right? Because I didn't know it, now I know I'm going to make the changes. So ignorance is the easier one to fix of the two that we'll do today. The harder one is the passion, because if you are passionate about attaining a certain thing, you just really, really crave it. If someone tells you that's bad for you, it's kind of hard to not give in to the passion because you have this emotional drive to get it. It's the same way with anybody who has ever had addictions, or if you've ever worked with somebody who has addictions. You can tell them and explain to them, you're destroying your body, you're destroying your relationships, you're making a mess out of your life. Look at this that you're causing and this that you're causing. And you know what a lot of times the addicts will do? You're right. You're right. I see that. You're right. That's correct. I am doing all those things. And then you know what they'll do when they have the opportunity again? They'll do the same destructive thing again. You want to know why? Because of passion. They crave it. They want it. Passion is not logical. You can bring all the logic you want to in the face of passion, and guess what's going to win? Passion. And so aren't you looking forward to find the answers to how to deal with that problem, passion? You're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait. We'll get to that. But today we're going to deal with the ignorance part. What are things that I'm not aware of that's demonstrating that when it comes down to it, God or money, I'm choosing my money? The way we can know that is there are five priorities. Now, there's more than this in the Bible as far as the things we need to be doing for God. But when studying the various passages in the Bible that deals with our finances, these were the five that seemed to surface the most as far as priorities that we need to have in our life. The first is righteousness and justice. I need to make sure that I set my lifestyle up in a certain way that I can pursue righteousness. Righteousness is just a fancy way of saying right, doing the right thing. Righteousness and justice, that I can live out my life and pursue this lifestyle and still be righteous and just. I'm not committing or causing any injustices by doing this, and I'm not causing any unrighteousness. And you want to keep in mind a couple of things. There's sin lies, but there's also failing to be the kind of loving description in 1 Corinthians 13, or exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience. Let's take that word patience for a second. When you are stressed, how easy is it to be patient with those around you? When there's pressure on you, how easy is it for you to be patient and tolerant towards the people that are around you in your life? Huh? Isn't that really easy? It's like a piece of cake, isn't it? Our patience level seems to plummet when we're all stressed out and tense. And your working environment, your working conditions, and the way that you're pursuing an income, if the result of that is that you cannot exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, you need to change something with your job. We mean change my job. Certainly you don't. Jesus doesn't expect me to change my job. It's the only job I can find. Listen, I understand that there's scenarios in which this is the only job that was available to you right now, and sometimes you have to do with what you have, and I get that that happens sometimes. But if you're just sitting in that and you're not actually trying to find a different job in the meantime, or if you could possibly reduce because maybe I have this job and this job pays this much, this job pays this much. I'd rather have this job because this job is better, unless I could possibly live on this much and exhibit the fruit of the Spirit down here, but I can't do it here. What should I choose? I should choose the job that pays less, but I'm able to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Why? Because exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit is more important to me than attaining this lifestyle. Or is it? You cannot serve both God and money. General righteousness as far as your finances, Psalm 37, 16. Your handout says 16 and 17. It should just be verse 16 there. Better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. Proverbs 22, 1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. Now, note that both those verses are not saying you can't have both. It's saying one's more important than the other. So when they are in competition with one another, just the same, you cannot serve both God and money. You can have both God and money. You can't serve both God and money. When these two are, I can't attain both together right now in this moment, I need to understand what's more important. And so my character and living righteously and making sure I don't cause injustice is more important than me attaining that thing. But when you make your lifestyle choices, who are you serving, God or money? Wow, I thought I'd only be guilty of that if I was really, really wealthy. You could be the homeless guy on the street and still be guilty of this stuff. Another form or issue with the righteousness justice issue is elevating yourself, your wants, and your needs above somebody else's. James chapter 2 describes a scenario in which rich people were coming into the church, And we were being nicer to the rich people and not as nice to the poorer people because they were recognizing that when people have money, and I don't know if you've ever been in this experience before, if you find out you get to know somebody who has money, what is there the potential of? When you know somebody who likes you and they have money, you could possibly get some of their money. Maybe they own a corporation and they can give you a nice job, and if I'm in with that person, then I can get that. Or maybe they'll buy me a car, or I have this rich relative, and if I'm real buddy-buddy with this rich relative, maybe they'll help me out when I'm, you know, whatever's going on there. And I begin to treat them a certain way, but I don't treat other people that same way because I value this person more because I can gain from this person. We do that not just with money. We do that with social standing and the way that this person can make me in better with these other people. And we treat people certain ways based on what I can get versus that person is made in the image of God. And it doesn't matter what I can get from them. I should treat them with all the respect in the world because they're a human being. But if that's not the way I interact with humanity and there's something that's more important that's causing that, you cannot serve both God and money. Who are you choosing this morning? Don't look at your words. What does the Bible say? Words don't mean anything, right? If I praise the Lord with my lips, but my heart's not there, it doesn't mean anything. So I can say, you can, all the songs we sang this morning, you could sing all those songs. You can listen to K-Love all the time. You could sing all the worship songs and the Christian songs constantly. Sing it, you know, as loud as you can and be as excited about it as you can. But if your feet don't move in the right direction, your loyalty isn't with Jesus. It's not hard to sing songs, is it? Some of us don't sound as good as others when we sing songs, but it's not hard to sing songs, is it? But that doesn't demonstrate where your loyalty is. When you're pressed up against the wall between two choices, God and this thing, whatever this thing is, your choice at that moment demonstrates who your Lord is. Who's your Lord this morning? Proverbs 16:8 said, actually add to that James 5, verse 4, behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. Unless someone has a secret among me here, none of us really are wealthy in the way that we would define wealthy, okay? So I tend to put our illustrations at where we are this morning. Unless someone, again, is keeping a secret from me, if you are, please let me know because I want to treat you better than the other people in the church. When I find out who gives what, I treat you nicer based on what you give. I'm joking. I don't know what you give. You could give zero, and I have no idea. I do that on purpose. But if you go out to a restaurant, because listen, I don't have a pool guy. I don't have a pool boy. I don't have a maid, butler. You know, I don't have a chauffeur. I don't have those things that we're kind of picturing when we think of wealth. But I have hired people before, and so have you. You just didn't realize it. When you go to a restaurant and you have a waiter or a waitress, you just hired somebody. Did you know that? Well, but I'm just buying the food, and I'm paying the fee on the menu. No. You hired a waitress who is making her living predominantly on the tip you're going to decide to give her. And if you decide, in order for me to buy the dessert with the meal, or in order for me to even go to the restaurant, I'm not going to tip. I'm going to scrimp on the tip so that I can buy the stuff. Guess what you just did? You made your interest more important than that waiter or that waitress that's hoping that you'll actually help their income be what it needs to be. When you hire the neighborhood kid to cut your grass, and you know you should probably give them, you know, whatever amount, you scrimp on that. Because you want to save money, you want to be able to do whatever. You scrimp money on a person or a child that probably needs that money. And so before you think that you don't have servants, that you don't have people in your life that you owe to, that you're responsible for, I want you to think more clearly about that. Because so many times when we're tight-fisted and we're scrimping on things so that we can be able to still buy this or pay for this or buy that, we're skimping on other people and affecting other people, and that's injustice in God's mind. In God's eyes, we are committing injustice and we are crossing lines because when push comes to shove and my choice is serving God or money, I chose my stuff. Oh, how many of us need to see if we're whether or not we're committing idolatry. Lastly, they're crossing under number one, crossing lines to attain. Proverbs 16, verse 8 says, better is the little of the or better is little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. If it takes me breaking a law to get it, if it takes me breaking company rules to get it, well, but company rules aren't in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does it say I have to follow company rules. Guess what? Did you know somewhere in the Bible it says you have to obey company rules? It just says it indirectly. It says you have to obey the authorities in your life. So if the company rule says that you have to dress a certain way, guess what? You have to dress a certain way. You don't need another verse that says you have to dress a certain way. The company said it, you have to do it. But in order for you to attain and move your way up and do certain things, if you have to cheat and lie and steal and do different things and break different rules in order to get there, and you chose to do those things, when push came to shove, you had the choice, God or money, and guess what you chose? Money. You're not rich. You don't have a lot of fancy stuff. But when push came to shove, you demonstrated with your actions and your choices who your Lord is. First priority. Second priority. That statement in Mark 8:36, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Is that you're willing to forsake your spiritual well-being to attain whatever it is you're trying to attain. And notice that he's given the extreme end because none of us attained the whole world. Who actually attained the whole world? So he's not saying that until you attained the whole world, you didn't cross this line. He's saying if you are giving up your relationship with Jesus Christ to attain this stuff, then you've crossed a line and you chose money rather than God. Well, I never did that. I believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, so there's nothing about my 60 hours a week. There's nothing about the way I'm managing my property and my house and the projects I got going on. There's nothing about all of that stuff and getting in the way of my relationship with Jesus because I still believe in Jesus. Don't you know that in the judgment that Jesus describes in Matthew chapter 7, he says that there will be those he'll tell to depart from him. And you know why he'll tell them to depart? Because I never knew you. Because I didn't have a relationship with you. You didn't spend time with me. You didn't sit there and pray and seek my face and those kind of things. You didn't spend time in my word. And so if you pursuing your lifestyle cannot also pursue a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you pursuing your lifestyle also cannot pursue studying the word of God, guess what? Then you're saying that you chose the lifestyle, you chose the money rather than God. If you even just say when you get home, I just don't have the energy to do it, guess what? You need to change your job. What do you mean? Does Jesus actually want me to change my job? What did Jesus say to the rich young ruler? Which many of us think we never fall under that category. What do you say? You must sell all you have and give it to the poor. You must give up your lifestyle in order to follow him. Again, we can have both God and money. So you having a car doesn't mean that you're sinning. You having a retirement plan doesn't mean you're sinning. You being able to go to a restaurant doesn't mean you're sinning. Unless you can't seek the face of Jesus Christ and seek his word in order to have that stuff, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. Third priority, family responsibilities. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children. If you are skimping on your children's clothing so that you can have the cell phone that you have, there's a conflict between God and money there. If you're choosing to save up for that vacation rather than saving up to help with your children's education, there might be a conflict between God and money there. If you're choosing to make sure that you can go out and you can do different things, but you're not forking over that money over towards their present education or the kind of food that they eat, you're putting your wants above them. And Jesus tells us to care more about others than ourselves, does he not? And that doesn't mean that I have to take care of everybody around the world. It doesn't mean because, what does Jesus say? You will always have the poor among you, right? So it doesn't mean that because there is some needy person out there that I can't ever have a want that I fulfill. But if they're in my household, if they're the people that I'm responsible for, and I'm choosing to meet my wants before I meet their needs, there's a conflict between God and money. If you cannot have a healthy relationship with your children because of how much you're working, there's a conflict between God and money. If you can't have a healthy relationship with your spouse because of the way you're working, or because you're always lost in your home projects or working on your car, there's a conflict between God and money. Well, how's that a conflict between God and money? Because that's my kids. Jesus said, or God said through John, he said, I cannot say I love God and yet hate my brother. And you might say, well, I don't say I hate my brother. Maybe not with your words, but with your actions, you choose to not pursue the relationships that God calls you to pursue. Why? So I can have my stuff. I got to make sure I have my stuff. And then when it comes down to it, the choice between my stuff and doing life God's way, if you're choosing your lifestyle instead of that, guess what you did? You committed, what is the word if we put something above God? Idolatry. No, surely not any of us here is guilty of idolatry. Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is slave of the lender. Proverbs 6 describes a scenario of a specific kind of debt and says if you are in this kind of debt that you should passionately pursue any possible way to liberate yourself from that debt. Romans 13:8 says to owe no one anything. The Bible doesn't say that having debt is sinful. Did you know that? And we'll get more into debt down the road. But the Bible does say that getting into debt is dangerous and risky. And you guys have probably found that. I don't know if any of you have had the experience of buying a car that you had to get a car payment and shortly after that losing your job and not being able to afford that car payment. Because maybe today I had the money to pay the car payment, but 3 months from now I do not. And guess what? You call the dealer and say, hey, you know, my work situation changed and I can't afford that car payment, so can you just lower my car payment? What do they say to that? Sure, you could just pay nothing. That's okay. You could just keep the car. It's a gift from us, right? Anybody ever have that happen before? No? They say, sorry, it's what you owe. You got to pay up. Or we can refinance this thing. Have you ever had that before? We can refinance this thing. But some of you guys have went through refinance after refinance after refinance, and what have you found out? At some point, you get to a point where they say, we can't lower this payment any lower. So you locked yourself into, you're stuck with the payment, or what happens? They take the car. And sometimes they take the car and you still owe money on the car that they took from you. If you are choosing to get the stuff that you want and you're going to go about it in a way that's a little too risky because you're taking on a little too much debt just so you can have that car, and you're making poor financial decisions that the Bible warns against, not for essentials, not for necessity, not because I had a medical emergency and I had to go to the hospital and I had to have these procedures done in order to survive. We're not talking about that. We're talking about because I wanted a car. We're talking about because I wanted to go on a trip. We're talking about because I wanted two bedrooms instead of one. Because I wanted to redo my kitchen. So many things in life, we choose to pick up a lot of debt and we find ourselves under this heap of a mess and we're all concerned and we're all stressed out and we're wondering why things are falling apart. And because when push came to shove, choice between God and money, what do we choose? I want my stuff. I don't care what God says. I don't care how God says how we're supposed to live and how we're supposed to treat other people. I want to have my stuff. You see, you thought being dirty, stinking, wealthy meant that you were in danger of those statements. Ah, how many of us are living in idolatry and we're not even aware of it? Fifth and last one, loyalty to Christ, which is kind of overlap with the second one. Loyalty to Christ and to his kingdom. This is where, remember Jesus at one point was preaching and he had a huge crowd following him and at some point he decided to say a bunch of hard things. And remember what most of the people did at that point? They left. They were done. Because they weren't really interested in Jesus, they were interested in the stuff. And once Jesus says, I have to start giving up my stuff, I'm telling you, the vast majority of you, there's probably something in your life that if Jesus showed up and said, why don't you give up that? Oh, it would be so hard. And so many of us want our stuff. What is your stuff that you're holding in your hand right now that is your idol before the Lord? You ready for this last kicker? You ready for this? Are you ready? Matthew 6. I told you to turn there with me. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 23. We're going to grab a few verses in these two or three paragraphs. Matthew 6, no, not 23. Sorry about that. Matthew 6, 19. There we go. I was on the wrong screen here. Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Some people have used those statements, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, as a proof text to say I shouldn't save. I shouldn't set aside money. That would contradict some of the other things that we already just saw. Didn't we just see in Proverbs we're supposed to lay aside money for our children and inheritance for our children? So Jesus is not contradicting Scripture. Didn't we see last week, going to the ant and see how the ant stores up and saves, that there's biblical wisdom in setting aside money and saving? So then why is Jesus saying, do not lay up for yourselves treasures in earth? Is he not saying we shouldn't save? No, notice this. Verse 20, there's a very key word there, and the word is but. Because it's contrasting one thing to another. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, but lay up for yourselves Do not lay up for yourselves treasures in earth, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. There's a conflict. That if in order for me, because which is more important, laying up treasures in heaven or on earth? Laying up treasures in heaven. And we know that the way we live and our lifestyle is going to be what results in those rewards that we have in heaven. And so if I cannot attain at this moment because I'm the guy with one talent, don't you hate being the guy with just the one talent? Because I'm the guy with the one talent, I realize that I can't have my stuff and my rewards in heaven. So guess what I'm going to do? Rather than laying up treasures on this life, I'm going to lay up treasures in heaven. I'm going to choose that stuff. And that goes right in sync with, did you notice he uses words like in verse 24, no one can serve two masters. You see that there? Because you will either be devoted to the one. You cannot serve both God and money. It's masters, devoted, and serve. It's loyalty. It's who wins when the two are in conflict. Again, it's not that you can't have stuff. It's that if in order to attain the stuff, you have to forsake other things, that's when you're demonstrating where your loyalty is. But here's where it gets hard. You ready for this? Verse 31, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first Jesus Christ, and all these things will be added to you. Isn't that what that says? Did I read that wrong? But just pray and read your Bible, and all these things will be added to you. Isn't that what I just read? Isn't that what that says there in Matthew 6:33? Am I reading that wrong? But make sure that you worship and sing worship songs, and all these things will be added to you. Isn't that what that says? It says that in there, doesn't it? What does it say? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We already saw the righteousness part. Seek first his kingdom. What's his kingdom? Do you know what his kingdom is? You and I are his kingdom. His kingdom is the church. His kingdom is the body of Christ. And so I need to put the body of Christ, the church, ahead of my lifestyle. Oh, how many of us have worked a job that requires me to not be able to be a part of the church? Now, I'm not saying there's not times in which that's the only job available. In order for you to buy food for your kids, you had to work that job that requires you to work on Sunday. I'm not saying that that's not ever a situation. But if you're not doing anything about that, you're stuck in that job that requires you to not be able to go to church and be a part of a church, God and money, what was your choice? Well, but I can follow Jesus and not go to the church. It's not what I see in the Bible. I see the Bible telling me that I need to minister to one another, encourage one another. I need to serve. I need to be a part of the body. I need to be where we're gathering together and not forsaking the assembly of the saints. But if I'm saying I can't go to church because I have to take care of my house, because I have this house project I have to take care of, because I have to take care of this car, because I have to work this job, because I'm too tired. When Sunday comes along, I'm too tired because of the job I'm working. Guess what? You have a choice to make. Keep that job or get a different job. Well, but would Jesus really ask me to change my job? You bet he would. If your job is getting in the way of you being faithful to, and listen, it's not just going to church. It's not just attending services. Did you know that in the Bible, if you read 1 Corinthians 12, it says that all of us are given gifts so that we can show up and sit in a pew? Did you know that? The Bible says that God gave you spiritual gifts so that you can sit in a pew and just sit there and listen to someone else talk. That is serving the body of Christ. Did you know that? The Bible said that if you put something in the offering plate, that's why he gave you spiritual gifts. That might be a little part of it, but did you know that if you stand up and sing the songs, that's why Jesus gave you spiritual gifts, so that you can stand up and sing the songs? No. He gave you spiritual gifts so you can serve, that you can find a place of ministry, that you can serve and serve the church and serve the body of Christ. And if your job does not allow you to do that, if your house, your home does not allow you to do that, if your lifestyle does not allow you to be in the church and serve the church and receive from the church and be involved in relationships with other people in the church, guess what? God and money. When I have to choose between the two, what choice did I make? Am I guilty of idolatry today? Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? Am I guilty of idolatry today? And you know, it doesn't have to be money. It could be anything in life that you're pursuing, that if in pursuing that thing, you cannot maintain the righteousness God calls you to maintain. You cannot seek the face of Christ and spend time in prayer and his word. You cannot be faithful in your relationships as you should. You can't practice the wisdom he's called you to practice. You can't be in the body of Christ as you should. You're faced with a choice this morning. It's to you he's saying this to. Now, if you are capable of pursuing those things and doing the things Jesus called you to do, awesome. You're liberated. Although there's a danger that we'll see down the road there. Those of you that have the five talents, oh, the responsibility that hangs over you. To whom greater is much is given, what does it say? Much is required. But for those of you who are the vast majority of us, we have that just that one talent, maybe the two. The question is, how did you get it? Did you get it because you chose to sacrifice the things that God has called you to live up to in order to get there? Who is your master this morning? Who is your Lord? Is it the TV schedule? Is it the Pirates schedule or the Steelers schedule? Is it your friends? Is it your job? Is it your house? Who is Lord of your life this morning? Because those of you who are stuck having to make that choice, that's who the statement is to this morning. You cannot serve both God and money. What does it profit a man if he gains a house? See, it doesn't have to be the whole world. Gains a house and forfeits his soul. What does it profit a man if he gains a car, gains a cell phone, gains an internet and cable plan, gains a nice apartment, gains clothes, gains a vacation, gains the ability to go out to eat, gains the ability to buy certain services? What does it profit a man if he gains anything, anything in this life? There is not a thing in this life that is worth losing your soul over. And you might feel like I got the Jesus bumper sticker on my car and I got Caleb playing on my radio that I'm good with Jesus. That doesn't cut it. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Are you truly living as Jesus is the Lord of your life? And allowing whatever consequences come from that, I let it because I'd rather have Jesus than my money. And if you've been convicted today of any form of idolatry or lack of loyalty to Jesus this morning, you have an opportunity to come and make things right with him and choose to repent this morning. As they lead us, will you come?
give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, 'cause you know just what to do. And I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever, all my days, I will love you, God. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed, Lord. Give me like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, 'cause you know just what to do. I will love you, Lord, my strength. And I will love
your eyes and bow your heads with me. I'd like to pray for some of you, heads bowed and eyes closed. You're here this morning and you would say, you know, I think I realize that there are ways that I'm living my life that are demonstrating my life isn't fully committed to Jesus Christ. I believe in him and I believe that I'm saved, but I'm not really sure I'm as faithful as I should be. I need to make changes in my life, and I want the Lord to help me with that. Heads bowed and eyes closed, you'd say, that's me. I didn't come forward for whatever reason, but that's me, and I need that strength. Would you lift your hand if that's you? Good. Anybody else? Good. 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 Anybody else? Amen. Secondly, you're here this morning, and you have a weight of pressure hanging over you that's related to your finances. And it's hard and it's painful. And sometimes you carry that privately and all to yourself and nobody else knows you're wrestling with that. But it's a burden that just gets to you. And you want the Lord to help you with that. Whether he changes your circumstances or he enables you to be pressed but not crushed. And trusting him and having the strength to walk through that. That's you. You're in that place this morning. Good. Anybody else? Good. Anybody else? Good. Good. Anybody else? So, Lord, you see us. You see us. And for those that need the strength and the passion to be faithful to you the way you call us to be able to overcome all the material stuff and pleasures that are all around us, and be able to reach out and say, I want to lay hold of Jesus. That's what I want. Above all this other stuff. May you give them the strength to do that. May you fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit and burn away the chaff. Take away the worldliness that is consuming and eating at us. Take that away. And for those, Lord, that have some financial burden or hardship that they're facing, Lord, I ask that you begin to deliver them from that. Whether you do it directly and immediately, or you choose to do it as we were just singing, God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. Whether it's that you show them where to work, where to apply, what to cut out, so that they cannot be under the same pressure that they're under today, but bring relief from that. We ask for all of us that you would help us to live for you in a way that honors you. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.